Welcome to the Pathways Podcast from the American Society for Cell Biology. I'm your host, Mary Spiro. And today we are speaking with Matt Welch, a professor in the Department of Molecular and Cell Biology at the University of California, Berkeley. Dr. Welch is also the editor-in-chief of ASCB's Basic Science Research Journal, Molecular Biology of the Cell. Thanks for joining me today, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Mary. This is going to be a pleasure.
So cell biologists have a plethora of journals that they could potentially submit their work to. What sets molecular biology of the cell apart?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you asked that question. And in fact, that's a question I'm frequently asked by people. And I feel that my answer is usually the same, which is that I think our editors are what set us apart from other journals. And people may or may not be aware that all of the editors at MBOC are practicing scientists, meaning that they're actively and currently engaged in research, and they're considered to be leaders in their field. And that's one of the things that actually differs between MBOC and some other journals in the field, where either at first pass or at some point in the editorial process, your paper would be dealt with by a professional editor, not a practicing scientist. And it's not, I'm not saying that professional editors are bad or unqualified. I actually believe they are qualified, but it's just a difference. Practicing scientists have the perspective, the same perspective as authors. You know, we're all in the game together, basically.
I have heard people mention that they felt like their papers with MBOC, that their papers received a special degree of care in terms mm-hmm. of review, and that they felt that the review feedback was especially valuable.
Yeah, I think that that is one of the features that comes with having practicing scientists also participating in the editorial and review processes, that we understand where the authors are coming from. And I also agree with you that MBOC editors have a reputation, and I've heard this from others as well, for not only selecting qualified reviewers, but also reviewers who are likely to not only be experts, but to also really fairly and constructively evaluate people's work. And in addition, MBOC has published several editorials and perspectives from former editors-in-chief of the journal, for example, David Drubin or others, laying out best practices for both the review and editorial process. So I think we've really taken a leadership role in terms of making sure that our review process is fair and especially constructive.
Why would it be especially important for a younger researcher, early career researcher, to submit to MBOC for this reason, because you have these working scientists reviewing the papers?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think there's a couple of reasons why MBOC would be a great place for younger scientists, early career scientists, to submit their work. Of course, for the reasons that we've already gone through, that, you know, our editors are practicing scientists, that we take the point of view that we want to provide authors with a fair and constructive peer review process. Also, MBOC, and I think that I hope that the publication landscape or world is moving in this direction, has a philosophy that was established when the journal itself was established. This was articulated by a former editor-in-chief, David Botstein, that MBOC publishes work that's both new and true. And we're not in the game of trying to decide ahead of time whether the work is ultimately going to be of high impact, you know, and this is a word that is tossed around in the publication arena. Is the work going to be significant? We feel like this is something that posterity should decide, and that we should not be making that decision necessarily before the work is actually published. Let's put the work out there and let the field then subsequently evaluate its impact over the course of time.
new and true. I would hope everything published would be true.
Exactly.
With regard to publishing, I know that there are multiple ways that people can submit their work to MBOC. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, MBOC has been an early adopter of more flexible submission processes. So there are four ways that you can submit your paper to MBOC. One is, of course, to just go to the MBOC website and click on the submit your paper to MBOC button, which I would certainly encourage you to do. If you happen to have submitted your paper to another journal and the paper was rejected from that journal, you could also submit the paper to MBOC along with the reviews from that journal, and MBOC will consider the paper along with the existing reviews. And it is possible that the editors will request additional information from reviewers, but we will take the paper along with the existing reviews and attempt to make an editorial decision based on that. So that's the second way. The third way is through a transfer mechanism between the Journal of Cell Biology, the Journal of Cell Science, and MBOC, where any of the papers submitted to any of the three journals, if they're not accepted at one of the journals, can be seamlessly transferred along with the reviews to another one of those three journals. And then the final mechanism is the newest mechanism, which is through a platform called Review Commons. Review Commons has a number of affiliate journals, and MBOC is one of them. And if you submit your paper to Review Commons, it's sent out to peer review by Review Commons, but the reviewers are asked not to evaluate the manuscript for its a fit or appropriateness for any journal in particular. So they're simply evaluating the manuscript based on its scientific merits. And that is something that really is very close to the philosophy that MBOC adheres to as well. So once your paper passes through the peer review process at Review Commons, you can then modify the paper accordingly and present a revision plan if additional experiments are necessary. You have a 1 month window. So you might not be able to complete all the experiments within a month, but you can propose a revision plan along with your minor revisions to the manuscript and then send the manuscript to any one of the affiliate journals, of which, again, MBOC is an example. So those are the four mechanisms.
In addition to these four mechanisms, ASCB members also get some extra perks as well. And you have some other sort of add-on things that authors can do when they submit and obviously pay their fee to have mm-hmm. their work published in the journal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ASCB authors currently receive a 20% discount off of the publication fee, and that actually amounts to quite a bargain. We're talking about article processing charges here. So for an ASCB member, the total cost of publishing a research article in MBOC is $1,680, which is actually quite a bit cheaper than for a lot of other publication venues. Of course, not all, but some, but many. So I think one other thing that many ASCB members and other practicing scientists are interested in is a pathway towards open access. And we are very interested in moving MBOC to become eventually an open access journal. We undertook a failed experiment, a subscribe to open experiment, which you can read about on the ASCB website if you're curious. And now we're moving towards a hybrid journal format where you could publish your paper behind the 2 month paywall. Basically, it would be you have to be an ASCB member or subscriber to see the paper within the first 2 months. That's actually quite a short period of time. And then afterwards, the articles become open access. Or you could choose to have publish immediate open access, which would amount to paying a higher initial article processing charge fee.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, because of their grant funding mechanism, are required to have open access immediately. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, certain funding agencies will require that the paper is published immediate open access. And also, that's something that some authors feel is also philosophically important from their point of view as well. So we are going to begin in the fall of this year offering that immediate open access option for MBOC authors.
Excellent. So you've been the editor of MBOC for about a year and a half now, and you have implemented a variety of content changes. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of those changes?
Absolutely. I'm really glad that you asked that question. I'm happy for the opportunity to explain to our authors and readers some of the changes we've made at MBOC. So I guess I should just start by emphasizing the different types of content that MBOC did publish, which include, of course, research articles, which have no upper length specifications. So, in terms of figures or text.
They can be as long as they need to be, right?
They can be as long as they need to be, exactly. Brief reports, which have a figure limitation of 5, but there is no actual lower limit on the number of figures. And I know that a number of authors are interested sometimes to publish brief public, papers that they know will advance the field, but, are certainly not, don't need to be as long as a regular research article. We also publish some features content, which include retrospectives. Those are sort of rearward looking perspectives that often present historical accounts of major research accomplishments or findings. Perspectives, which are more forward looking treatments of particular topics in cell biology, maybe delving into controversies or pointing out areas for future opportunity or growth within a field. We also have technical perspectives, which focus on methodology. And in the past year, we've introduced a new type of feature, which are called our voices essays. And I actually don't want to and can't take credit for the idea behind the voices essays. This was actually an idea that was put forward by our first voices author, Christina Termini, and you can view her voices essay. This is the first voices essay that we published on the MBOC website. And she relayed this idea to one of our associate editors, Valerie Weaver, who then contacted David Drubin and I with an idea to put forward voices from our community series, which we then shortened to basically the Voices series. And this is something that we're really excited about. This offers an opportunity for a really diverse spectrum of scientists in the cell biology field who have had a variety of different experiences in their training or throughout their careers, that often negative experiences, based on discrimination or misunderstanding. And these are experiences that are really important for our community to hear, to listen to, and to act upon in order to make this a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive community for all of us. So we've published several of these voices essays so far and recruited 2 new editors to handle these essays, Veronica Segarra from High Point University and Derek Applewhite from Reed College. And I know that we'll probably be talking more about our editors a little bit later on.
Yeah, I know that both Dr. Applewhite and Dr. Segarra they're from predominantly teaching colleges. Those are teaching universities. So they also have that aspect as well.
And that is a really important perspective that has been lacking from the MBOC editorial board. And so I think that's, I'm really glad that you brought that up. It's an important constituency of our membership. And these scientists are publishing, research articles in MBOC. They're not only, they're not only teachers, but they're researchers as well.
And you also have included a lot of beautiful images and visualizations, which I appreciate.
I appreciate them too. That's one of the reasons that I became a cell biologist, is I feel like I'm a very visual person and I really love looking at images of cells. And I know that many cell biologists feel the same way. We appointed a new visualization editor. This is the first time we've ever had this role at MBOC. And this is the first time I'm aware that I'm aware of any journal really having this this type of editorial position. So we recently appointed Janet Iwasa, who's very well known in the ASCB community, as our visualization editor. And Janet's role thus far has been to, first of all, to assist our features authors to prepare high quality model figures. So Janet is available for consultation with features authors if they wish to get her input on model figures that they put together. She can be available to give design and visual input into those model figures. She's also done a couple of covers for MBOC, which have been incredibly well received, including our first ever video cover, which was published last month as a part of the special issue for on quantitative cell biology. So that was really exciting. That's something that we had been thinking about doing for quite some time. And I was I'm so glad that Janet was able to finally do such a cover for us.
The Pathways podcast will return after these brief announcements. Here's what's happening this month with the American Society for Cell Biology. Do you love being a member of ASCB? Of course you do. Now, through August 31st, invite your colleagues to join, and both you and they will receive a $10 Amazon gift card. When five of your colleagues join, you'll receive a one-year complimentary membership to ASCB. And if 10 of your friends join, you will earn free registration to Cell Bio Virtual 2021. Get all the details on how to participate at ASCB.org/membership. Have you looked at the ASCB job board lately? More than 1,300 employers and at least 1,500 job seekers are registered on the site. We also have career resources such as our CV and resume review. Make sure you check out the ASCB job board often. Go to jobs.ascb.org. And even though our meeting this year is virtual, there are costs associated with it. If you're planning to attend Cell Bio Virtual 2021, but need help with registration or abstract fees or even childcare expenses, go to ascb.org/cellbio2021 and scroll down until you see the section on meeting grants. There you can apply for attendance and or childcare grants. The meeting attendance grants are especially intended for underrepresented groups as defined by the National Institutes of Health. Okay, that's it for this month. Now back to the show. And what's all this I hear about science sketches? What are those?
Science sketches is an organization that was founded by two people who now are editors on the MBOC editorial board, Lisa Dennison, who's at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, and Liam Holt, who's at New York University. And they founded this organization, Science Sketches, which is really focused on making science and scientific accomplishments and advances more accessible to the general public. They have a very unique format, which is tailored to people's attention span and many people's visual learning style. So these are 2-minute sketches, and the length I think is really important because this is really the attention span that people have when watching a video without distraction. And they're also hand-drawn or otherwise animated. It could be claymation, it could be by moving fixed pictures around, it could be by drawing. And I saw Lisa give a talk about this, her efforts with Science Sketches, and just immediately knew that this would be a great initiative for MBOC. So now we offer authors whose research papers have been accepted at MBOC the opportunity to put together what we call an MBOC Science Sketches video abstract. This is a 2-minute hand-drawn or animated depiction of the research advances that their paper provides. And why this is such a great opportunity is not only is it fun, and they're fantastic, they're fun to watch. I think you've watched them, and I know that every time I see them, I really enjoy them. But also they really force authors to simplify and to clearly articulate what the key advances of their work is. And really that is what we are trying to do in the first place, is to help authors communicate their science. So these are, I really wish that, you know, I really hope that more authors, many authors have, but I hope that more authors do take advantage of this unique opportunity and format. And you can actually work together with the visual, the Science Sketch editors. They'll help you to make a script for your animation, and they'll provide you with advice on actually doing the animation itself.
Yeah, they are really a lot of fun, and I like watching them and sharing them on social media. Mm-hmm. Now reproducibility is always a big issue with science, and you have a special feature there that helps mm-hmm. increase reproducibility, or at least maybe even catch things if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, of course, as you know, as you said, research reproducibility is obviously important. It's what we all strive for, is to have our results be reproducible. This is how science advances forward, is by others being able to reproduce and then build on prior results. Of course, as people are aware, reproducibility has been an issue within the scientific community. And there are various ways in which MBOC works to enhance the reproducibility of the research that's published in the journal. MBOC has never had length restrictions, as we already discussed, and in particular with the methods section, we encourage authors to write a detailed materials and methods section so that others can read their methods and reproduce their results. We've also added a feature, which is in fact a collaboration or a partnership with a journal called Bioprotocol, which is a peer-reviewed journal that publishes protocols. And Bioprotocol has a feature which is now added to MBOC research articles and brief reports. If the authors elect to have this done, a link is included at the top of the materials and methods section of the paper. And the link brings you to what's called a request a protocol site. Bioprotocol actually automatically populates their request a protocol site with the individual sections from the specific materials and methods of that paper. So the subheadings of the materials and methods sections are then automatically populated into the request a protocol website. So if you click on the request a protocol link, you can then click on a part of the method section in which you want, for which you may want more detail. That request will be sent to the authors of the paper. The authors can then respond to that request by providing that additional detailed information. And if everyone agrees, that question and answer can then be hosted on the Bioprotocol site so that everyone who goes to the materials and methods and may have a similar question could actually see the answer to that question. So this is a fantastic feature. It's not unique to MBOC. eLife does it. Science journals also do it. But we're really glad that Bioprotocol, we're really glad to have this partnership with Bioprotocol so that MBOC readers can gather more details about the experimental methods in our papers.
Tell me a little bit about some of the personnel changes that have taken place and the structural mm-hmm. changes that have taken place and how the journal is managed.
Yeah, so the journal has been very successful over many years, and it has a structure to the editorial board, which is maybe worth noting to our readers and potential authors, just so that they understand how the journal works. We have a group of what are called editors. These are the senior editors of the journal. They provide an advisory role to me and the ASCB about the policies and practices of the journal. And they also handle manuscripts, meaning that if an author submits a manuscript to MBOC, the manuscript first comes to me, and then I will assign it to one of the other editors at the journal who's an expert in that field of research, and it could be one of these senior editors, or it could be one of the larger group of editors we call associate editors. And there are approximately 80 associate editors from all over the world who have expertise in all the different facets, both traditional and emerging areas of cell biology. And over the course of time, I feel that it's important that the editorial board be dynamic. It's great if people serve on the editorial board for a number of years, but there are a lot of great scientists out there who we would also like to have the opportunity to serve on the editorial board as well. So I've decided that we're going to, have a reasonable rate of turnover of the editorial board. And so there's been quite a bit of turnover over the past couple of years, including this year when we had a lot of new editors come on board, including a new senior editor, Mickey Marks from Children's Hospital Philadelphia, and a number of new associate editors, all of whom were previously on the editorial board of a journal in the membrane trafficking field called Traffic. And they actually left the Traffic editorial board and subsequently joined the MBOC editorial board this past year. And so we're really excited to have this additional expertise in the membrane trafficking field. And we've also brought on a number of other associate editors with expertise in immunology, development, organelle biology, biomolecular condensates, biophysics, enhancing the already existing expertise in the journal.
Do the editors serve a particular length of time before they cycle off?
Our goal is for the senior editors we don't have a defined length of service for them. For the associate editors, our goal is about 10 years of a length of service. So it's a pretty long service on the editorial board. And then after that, we feel like it's good, to bring on new scientists onto the board, to offer them the opportunity, and also to, just create the board as a dynamic thing, entity rather than a static entity. There's a couple of other changes. Of course, we've already talked about the prior introduction of the Science Sketch editors. The new Voices editors were appointed this year. In addition, we have a rather large change on the editorial board. We used to have what was called a board of reviewing editors. This was a group of scientists who were sometimes called upon to review peer review papers for MBOC. But we decided instead that we would rather continue in the future with bringing on younger scientists onto the editorial board, what we call early career, now our new group of early career editors. And that's something that I think is a really exciting new development. And I'd be happy to talk about that if you feel like this is a good time or.
Yeah. So what will their role be briefly?
Yeah. So I think there's a few things I'm excited about this group of editors. First of all, this group was assembled in a way that I think is different than in many cases early career people are brought on to an editorial board. We actually had an open call for applications, and this was really important to us in order to make sure that we achieved a good level of diversity, including with scientific areas being represented, different nationalities being represented, as well as people from all kinds of different backgrounds being represented on the editorial board.
And previously, they would have been invited.
Yeah, so that's often how people are recruited to editorial boards, and that is something that we would typically do for associate editors or editors as well. But ASCB leadership, feels strongly that open calls for applications can result in greater opportunity and diversity. And that's something that we wanted to achieve in this case. In addition to, so what is the role of this new board? Just briefly, because I feel like this could be the subject of an entirely new podcast. They're starting a new initiative, which is to provide a level of curation of the preprint literature. This is of course, literature that is posted on a preprint server like BioArchive, but that has not gone through the peer review process, not yet gone through the peer review process. This is not an attempt to peer review these papers, but just simply to curate or highlight for the ACB and cell biology community, which preprints might be of special interest for them to look at. So these editors will apply significance statements. These will be brief statements about the importance of the work and why it's notable and might be a paper of interest for people in the cell biology community, as well as badges. These will be standardized icons depicting points of interest of the article. For example, it's a good educational resource. It provides a new technology or method. It makes a fundamental new hypothesis, you know, areas of impact like that.
And this experience that the early career editors get, is that sort of a means to train them maybe to be associate or senior editors later on?
Absolutely. This is a great opportunity for us to get to know these young scientists and to mentor them in editorial practices. And in fact, that's another purpose of this early career editor board. Each of the early career editors is matched with a mentor who's a more senior editor on the editorial board. And in addition, they may also be called upon if their expertise is needed to, for example, review papers for MBOC or with the more senior editor to participate in an editorial or at least be made aware of the intricacies of the editorial decision-making process.
Yeah, this whole conversation has been extremely illustrative for me and educational, because I just really wasn't, even though I work for ASCB, I really wasn't aware the depth and the breadth of all the things that are involved with MBOC.
Well, thanks. I'm glad that this has been informative.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with me about MBOC, your vision for the future, or just what you've got on the back burner that maybe you want to share?
Yeah, in fact, this is such a wonderful opportunity for me to talk about all of the different virtues of MBOC. I think the things that I'm most excited about, and I think we'll stay tuned for, are the efforts of this early career editor board and this preprint curation project, which I think is going to be an interesting experiment that I think will be of value to the cell biology community. We're also hoping to leverage some of the things we learn from this preprint curation project to apply similar things to MBOC papers. So for example, MBOC papers will now start having significant statements and badges, and those, rather than being applied by the early career editors, will be the significant statements will be initially written by the authors, and then the reviewers and the editor will weigh in on the significant statements and also apply the badges to MBOC papers. And I think this is going to be a way for authors and editors to better communicate the importance of the work that's being published and value of the work that's being published in MBOC. I'm also excited that we're starting to think about publishing other types of features content. For example, our retrospectives and perspectives, which I mentioned earlier, are shorter length review type articles, but we do plan to begin publishing full-length review articles. And we're now working with the team of features editors to define the concept that we're wanting to put forward for reviews and to begin soliciting authors for review content. So that's something to stay tuned for in the future as well.
Well, you sound incredibly busy. I don't even know how you manage to have time for all of this and do your own research as well. So thank you so much for spending time with me to talk with me about molecular biology of the cell.
Thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun, and I look forward to future conversations.
The Pathways Podcast is a production of the American Society for Cell Biology. Thanks for listening.